Amen. Praise the Lord. He is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. I am thankful for the Lord today, and I'm thankful that we get to celebrate Him together. I want to read for you out of the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. You'll find these verses up on the screens as well. Again, it's Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And it says that He, the Father, God Himself, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And church, I just wanted to just stop by here for a little while to let you know that we've got so much reason to praise Him today. Like, He has been so good to us. He has rescued us from everything that we used to be, and He has redeemed us into something that we never thought we ever could be. Like we have reason to praise God today. And this is the good news of Jesus. This is the gospel. We found ourselves lost in darkness, and yet He rescued us. We could not have rescued ourselves, yet He made a way to bring us out. We could not have redeemed ourselves. We could not have forgiven ourselves. We could not help ourselves. And yet God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross that our sins might be forgiven. He paid a price we could never pay. And that's the good news of Jesus. Now, no matter how bad our lives are, no matter how dark our lives are, there is hope in Him. Praise the Lord. He's worthy and He is able. I am so thankful for the mercy of God. That even in my darkness, even when I was running that life, even when I was living in ways that are opposite of what God would have me to do, He was able to rescue me from it all. Praise the Lord. In Colossians, in this letter here that Paul writes to this church, he is writing to these people who are rescued, who are redeemed, who are forgiven. They are a people who knew what it was to live in the darkness, and now they know what it is to live in the light. And over these next few weeks, we're going to take an opportunity just to work our way through the first chapter of this letter that Paul wrote to the Colossian church. And in this, even today, we're really going to look over these next few weeks of some things that Paul, I think, has to teach us here today about prayer. Amen. Okay? And so, even in light of these things that we read, even in verses 13 and 14, of how God has rescued us, and it begs the question that we will wrestle with throughout this day, of what is it that we should pray for? If we are people who are rescued from darkness, if we are redeemed, if we are forgiven, if we are children of the Most High God, if we are those that have been set free, if we are those that have found our plans, the plans and purposes of our lives in Jesus Christ Himself, like if we are those people, if we are children of God who have experienced His grace and have found His mercy, like what is it that we ought to be praying for? And so today, we're gonna wrestle with that question as we continue to work our way through this letter to the Colossian church. I'm going to let you know right now, by the way, we're going to go through this first part of this letter backwards, because I promise you it'll make more sense when we get to the beginning, which will be the end. But for those of you who really need things to be in nice sequential order, like this is not that sermon for you. I'm sorry about that. But I believe God has some things for us today. So if you would pray with me. God, thank You so much for this opportunity that we have to meet together once again as Your church. And we thank You, Father, for just your word. I thank you, God, for the way that you have spoken through Paul to the Colossian church. And I thank you, God, for what your Holy Spirit is speaking to us even now. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that my words would be your words today, God, that your message alone would be heard and received and acted upon here today. God, help us to submit ourselves to you fully and completely. God, that you would be glorified through it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So within the understanding of who it is that Paul is writing to, who it is he's talking to the rescued, he's talking to the redeemed, he's talking to those who've been forgiven, right? I want to go back a couple of verses because I think he begins to show us some things that we need to pray for. So in Colossians chapter 1, let me read for you in verses 10 through 12. It says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Amen. Now, Paul gives us in these verses here so many things that are like that would be amazing for us to have in our lives. Things like he said in verse 10, he starts out like that we would live a life worthy of the Lord, right? What an awesome thing that we might pray for, right? But what I want you to understand here is that Paul does not tell the Colossian church to pray for that. He doesn't tell them to pray that they would live a life worthy of the Lord. Now, he goes on to say, oh, that you might please him in every way. That sounds like an amazing thing to pray for. But Paul doesn't tell them to pray that they would please him in every way. Right? He says, oh, bear fruit with every good work. But he doesn't tell them to pray for the fruit. Right? He says to them, grow in the knowledge of God. But he doesn't tell them to pray to grow in the knowledge of God. He tells them to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. But he doesn't tell them to pray to be strengthened. He tells them to have great endurance and to have patience. You got to be careful with praying for that anyway, right? But he doesn't tell them to pray for endurance and patience, right? He tells them to have joy, but he doesn't tell them to pray for joy. He tells them about the inheritance, but he doesn't tell them to pray for the inheritance. And this is why I know all of these things are wonderful things, and these are probably things that we have all prayed for before, right? They're not bad things. It's not like if you've been praying for them that you're going to hell or anything like that. Don't hear what I'm not saying, right? But the reason we know that Paul isn't telling them to pray for these things is that he starts out verse 10 with the two words, so that.
Yes.
So that. Now see, so that implies that these are not actions themselves, but rather they are the results. They are not the causes, but they are the effects, right? It's kind of like if I stink, right? I can pray that God would get rid of my stink. But what I don't need God, that's actually an effect, right? What I need is to put deodorant on, right? And when I do the action, it brings the effect of not smelling, right? You see what I'm saying there? And so I don't need to pray that I don't stink. I need to pray for deodorant. That's what I would need to pray for. Because once I got deodorant, then I can do the action that leads to the effect that I no longer stink. See, what's happening here is Paul is listing out all these different things to the church. Living a life worthy, pleasing him every day, having fruit, growing, being strengthened, having endurance, having patience, having joy, having that inheritance. But all of these are the effect. They're not the cause, right? So, what then do we actually need to pray for? So now we're going to go back one more verse to verse 9. Watch this now.
Hallelujah.
Paul says, for this reason, Since the day we heard about you, talking to the church, the Colossian church, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Watch this now. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Okay, so here, so what is it that Paul actually prayed for when it came to the Colossian church? There were two things, really. The first was he prayed that they would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Right? In other words, he prayed that they would know what to do. That they would know what to do. Now, this didn't mean that they would have all of their questions answered. This doesn't mean that everything would all of a sudden, everything would all make sense and they wouldn't ever have any questions about the Bible or his will or anything like that. No, no, no. This just meant that they would know what they were supposed to do. It meant that they would know that they should flee from the darkness and live in the light of Christ, right? They may not know what every single little day was going to look like, but they know what darkness looks like, and they know what light looks like, and they know I need to go pursue the light. Amen. They know what they are supposed to do according to the knowledge of God's will. Yes. Yes. It meant that they would flee the kingdom of the world and the enemy of our souls, and that they would actually live in the kingdom of the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It meant that they would flee from sin and actually pursue pleasing the Father in all that they would do. Amen. See, the Lord may not have told them who to date, but they knew how to hold physical and sexual boundaries, whoever it was that they were dating, right? The Lord may not have told them what major to choose in college, but they knew how they would live when they got on campus. The Lord may not have told them which house to buy, but they knew how to raise their kids in whatever home they find themselves. The Lord may not have told them what job to take, but they knew how to be honest when they paid their taxes. They may not have had every single little detail and question answer, but they knew what to do in line with God's will. You see the difference there? You see the difference there? So the first thing that Paul prayed for was that they'd be filled with the knowledge of his will, that they would know what to do, right? But then secondly, and actually it's kind of like 1B, I guess you'd say here. It says that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, right? So this is not only the what to do, but this is knowing also why they should do it. Now see, the why for the Lord might be different than the why for us, right? And so we got to make sure that again, we recognize that when we say that Paul was praying that the Colossian church would come to know the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, that they would know why they are to do what they're supposed to do. It's not according to their own wisdom and understanding, but according to the wisdom and understanding of the Spirit. See, God's why might be different than our why. See, his why might be because I said so, because I commanded it. And we might be like, well, that's not how I function in my life. Well, that's okay. Like, you're not the Lord of your life, right? Amen. If God is the Lord of your life, then if he says go, you say go. Like, if he says go, then you go. You go because he commanded. That is the why. You don't say, well, but why do I need to go? No, you go because he said go. That is the why. That's the why that God provides. It may not be our why, but it's his why. His why might be, well, just trust me. And we've been living this whole life trying to just trust ourselves, and look where that's gotten us, right? And sometimes we just need to recognize that it's time. Like, we may not know what's around the corner, but when the Lord says, just trust me, that's why we need to go. Like, we don't have to see what's around the corner in order to go. No, we can know what to do, and we can know why to do it. The why is because he said, you can trust me. Yes. Yes. See, his why might even be because my ways are higher than your ways. Absolutely. Like, if your mind couldn't even handle it if I told you, right? His why might be, well, because your enemy needs love too. Yeah. So I know you don't really want to love that person, but your enemy needs love too. And so you need to do that because your enemy needs love too. Yeah. Maybe his why is, well, because it's my money anyway. Well, but Lord, I want to use it a different way. Well, that ain't your money. You don't get to decide, right? Amen. It's my money anyway. That is the why. See, Paul didn't pray that they would grow in their wisdom and their understanding. He prayed that they would grow in the wisdom and understanding of the Spirit of God himself. Yes. What that means is that the why for why we do certain things is going to be different. It's not going to be the same reasoning that we might use in the rest of our lives. See, the problem is that many times, and this is why it's really, really important that we see this, that we understand this. The problem is that many times we want to see the results, but we don't always want to do the action to get there. We want the effect, but we don't want the cause, right? It's like we want to smell good, but we don't really want to have to be bothered with putting deodorant on, right? And so here's why that's a big problem, right? Because walk with me here. We put our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, right? Then we pray for results, right? Which, again, if you go back with me here, we pray for things like, Lord, help me to live a life worthy of you. Help me to please you in every way. Help me to bear fruit. Help me to grow. Help me to be strengthened. Help me to have endurance. Help me to have patience. Help me to have joy. Help me to live in your inheritance someday, Lord, that eternally I may be with you. Like, we want all of those effects, but we don't often want to know what it is that God wants us to do or why it is he wants us to do it. And so we're trying to skip God's will to get to the fruit that comes from submitting to God's will. And so then as a new believer, then we submit ourselves to God in the forgiveness of our sins. Then we start praying for effects, not actually submitting to God's will. And then we wonder why we're not getting the effects. And it's because we never submitted to his will. Do you see the danger I'm getting at here? Like, when we don't actually, when we're not actually praying the prayer that Paul was praying for the Colossian church, we find ourselves in a trap. We find ourselves in a trap where we're praying for things that God never intended to come to us directly. They all come as a response to the faith that we put in him. And so we don't submit to what God wants us to do, and we don't submit to why God wants us to do it. And then we don't see the results that we were praying for the whole time. And then we blame God for not answering our prayers. No, we ought not blame God. We ought to look at ourselves and wonder, like, why is it that I haven't submitted myself to him in the way that I really need to? See, the way we get to the effects is by actually going through the causes. The way we get rid of the stink is to actually put the deodorant on, right? So what do we do then? I want to run through a few things here that I hope will be helpful, that I think Paul brings up that are so important for us to hold on to in our lives. There in verse 9, one of the things he talks about is how he never stopped praying for the Colossian church. And church, I just want to encourage you, please do not stop praying, right? Again, let me be super, super clear here. What I am not saying to you today is that you've been praying wrong this whole time, so you might as well just give up on prayer, right? I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. And if you're praying for, you know, to bear fruit and to grow in the knowledge of God and to be strengthened and have endurance and patience and joy and all this kind of stuff, like, I ain't mad at you. Like, feel free. I just want you to recognize that there is an effective way to actually get all of the things that you want to see in your life. We just can't skip steps to get there. Right? So please just keep praying and don't just make it a thing you do by yourself. You need to know who your prayer warriors are in your life. You need to know, like, you need to be able to count and name the people that you know are praying for you each and every day. And they need to know how to be praying for you each and every day. They need to know what is great. They need to know what is ugly. They need to know what is messy. They need to know all of it. And they need to be the ones who are that you are inviting in to pray for you each and every day. Do not stop praying. Paul Paul thought that it was important enough that he actually included it in the letter that he wrote to the Colossian church here, because he wanted them to know that if nobody else is praying for them, even if they're not praying for themselves, he's praying for them. I want you to know, if you have a person like that in your life, that you know what, even on the days where you may not pray for yourself, but you know that this person is praying for you, man, that is such an encouragement. If you don't have that person, I do not want you to let this sun set on this day before you find that person in your life today. I promise you, there is someone in your life that is open to being that person for you. And if you don't know who it is, here's what I'd love for you to do. There's a connect card on the back of the seat that's right in front of you there. I would love for you just to say, I need someone to pray for me, or just write it on there, whatever you need there. Like I promise you, before the day is out, there are people that are sitting around you right now that would sign up to pray for you, whether they know you or not. They would sign up to pray for you every single day for the rest of your life. You don't have to go through it by yourself. Amen. You don't have to go through it by yourself.
That's right.
Hear me now. You don't have to go through it by yourself. It's important that you are praying. Hear me straight. It's important that you are praying. But it's important as well to know that you got a team of people that are fighting and interceding on your behalf, right? There's people who want to pray with you. The second thing then is we do need to be intentional about getting filled with the knowledge of God's will by learning God's word.
Yes,
all right. The only way, or let me say it this way, the most effective way that we can come to know who God is and what his character is and what it is that he wants us to do in our lives is to know his word. To know his word, to actually like get in the Bible every single day and to read the stories that are about him for us that help reveal to us exactly who he is, right? And so I just want to encourage you, it is not possible for you to know the will of God in your life unless you know the word of God in your life. You've got to have that word in your life. And again, even as I'm saying some of these things, like having people pray for you and getting God's word, like these are great, great things. But even these things on their own are not enough to get to the effects that we're looking for, that were listed there in verses 10 through 12. Like all of these things are designed to help you know God's will and to know the wisdom and understanding of his spirit so that you know not only what to do, but why to do it, right? The third thing then is to be intentional to get the wisdom and understanding of God's spirit by having like a personal relationship with him. I want to make sure that I'm saying this right here. I really do believe it is super important for you to be a part of God's church. It is really important for you to be a part of a worship service where you can come and know the community that comes by being with other people who are pursuing Jesus. Like in the coming together, there's so many things that happen in our coming together that I don't even have time to get into right now. It's so very important. Yet at the foundation of it all, like if you are going to see the Lord answer prayers in your life, you need to have a personal relationship with him. Like it's great that Kathy's praying for you, but if you don't know the voice of the Lord and the Lord doesn't know your voice, like that's a problem, right? Now it's great to have other people praying, but like we need to have a personal relationship with God through our Savior Jesus Christ. It's great that your parents maybe showed you faith in your life, and that's awesome if they did, but their faith is not going to get you into eternity. Their faith is not going to get you where you need to be in regard to being with Jesus. Like those are decisions you need to make. Those are faith steps you need to make. Like your grandmother and your grandfather, I'm sure were wonderful people, but you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Like I need you to know, like I do all that I can to pray for you personally myself, but no matter how much I pray for you, one day you're going to stand before your maker and he's going to ask you, do you know Jesus. He's not going to ask you if you know me. He's not going to ask you if you know the church, the Houston First Church of God. He's not going to ask you like if you knew an elder. No, he's going to ask you, did you know Jesus? And did you know him personally? Like do you have a relationship with him?
Amen.
Like, I am super glad that every single one of you are here and a part of this worship service. And I hope and I really do believe and trust and pray that God is speaking to you in powerful, powerful ways. But showing up here is not what's going to make a difference for your eternity.
That's right.
It's not. It's having a personal relationship with Jesus where you recognize that it is because of his sacrifice on the cross that your sins were forgiven. And that because of the resurrection of Jesus, now we get to live new lives as well. And that it's not just a one-time transaction, but it's an ongoing life that we live with him.
Amen.
We live in love with him. Because of all that he has done for us. If we want to get the wisdom and understanding that comes from God's Spirit,
yes,
then we've got to have a personal relationship with him in order that he might fill us with his Spirit. And that just means that really the first decision we've got to make then is we've got to decide to follow Jesus. We've got to get to a point where we have to decide, you know, are we going to try to do things on our own? Or are we actually going to let Jesus be in control? Are we going to try to come up with a plan? Or are we going to try to skip steps just so that we can get what we want, right? We have to decide, like, who gets to be in control of my life? Who's going to answer for my sins? Is it going to be me? Or am I going to let Jesus, like, stand in for me? Because he's already paid that price. Like we don't actually have to live out the consequences of our sin for all of eternity. Praise the Lord. Like, Jesus has already accomplished that sacrifice on the cross. And when we put our faith in him, when we decide to follow Jesus, he makes us new.
Yes, thank you.
I want to invite you as well. Like, maybe a decision you need to make is to actually get connected with one of our community groups. I know it sounds like anytime I bring up community groups, it always sounds like I'm like advertising for something. And it almost feels like you guys are just throwing away junk mail. It's not junk mail, I promise you. Community groups are, in fact, ours just met last night. And, man, it's an awesome place where you just get together with a few people. You're able to process God's word in a super real way that you just can't do on a Sunday morning. This is great. There's a lot of good things that happen on a Sunday morning. But there's a lot of things that this space is just not designed to do. Right? When you get together with a group of others, most of them meet in homes, and so it's super chill and relaxed. Like, I never wear shoes for our community group, because it's at my house. I'm not wearing shoes at my house. What are you talking about? Like, I'm not crazy. Maybe you wear shoes at your house. That doesn't make you crazy either, probably, but I'm just saying it's super relaxed. We're just able to be real with each other, right? Last night, our group always, you know, the community group material that we work with is always from the Sunday before. And so last night we were talking about the sermon from last Sunday, which is in regard to, you know, why is this so hard to deal with shame and those kinds of things. And those aren't things that I'd really want to talk about with everybody. Like, no offense or anything. I love you and all. But I don't really want to talk about that with everybody. I'll be honest with you. I had a sermon illustration last week that I took out in the middle of the sermon. Because I was like, I don't really want to say that out loud.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. But in that group, there's very little I wouldn't say to those six people. Very little I wouldn't say. And I just know that for me personally, it's really important that I have a place where I can just say what I actually need to say. And I don't have to just feel like I need to hide. I can just be real. Maybe you'd like a place to just be real. Maybe you'd like to feel like you don't have to hide. Maybe just you to know that you have people that are going to love you no matter how messy it is. That's why I talk about community groups so much. And so maybe a place like that would be really awesome for you. Again, you've got those Connect cards. On those Connect cards as well, there's even a QR code. You can even just hit that on your phone and fill it out online or whatever. But we would love to help you get connected with a group. We've got groups that meet all over the place, all throughout the week. And it's a great way to just grow in your faith. It's even really important, you know, as you're early on in your faith, it's really, really important for you to get connected with someone that the title we use is the disciple maker. So these are people that have actually been trained to know how to lead someone into deeper areas of faith, right? To take some steps of faith and to know where you are and help you take like steps that are really helpful for you, right? Maybe you just like to have someone that we can kind of partner you up with, or we've got people that are available for that. It's just a matter of helping to make that connection. So maybe that's, or maybe the step, you know what, maybe the step that you need to take is actually to become a disciple maker as well. Maybe like, Pastor Tim, this is all great. Like, I get it. Like, I'm with you. Like I remember the time where I was just trying to get the effects and I wasn't really trying to actually submit to God. But I feel like I'm actually at a point where I'm really submitting to God now. And I feel like God's doing some really good things. And that's really awesome. And maybe now's the time that it's not just about you seeing the effects of your prayers, but now's the time that you begin to figure out how you can invest in other people so that they can learn how to take steps of faith with Jesus as well. Maybe now is the time that you say, you know what? I feel like I've been kind of on the bench for a little while. I think now I'd really love to get in the game and I want to be a disciple maker as well. Like maybe that's what the Lord is nudging you into today. Whatever it is, like, I just want us to recognize that the thing that Paul prayed for was not all of the effects. It was that we would truly be submitted to him, that we'd be submitted to his will, that we would be submitted to his spirit, that we'd be submitted to his wisdom and his understanding, not our own. And when we do that, we will naturally live a life worthy of the Lord. When we submit to him and we submit to his spirit, we will naturally bear fruit that in all of our good works. We will naturally grow in the knowledge of God. We will naturally feel the power and the strength of God in our lives. When we submit ourselves to him and we're not skipping that step, we will naturally feel the endurance and the patience that we need. We'll have the joy that's welling up inside of us that we won't be able to explain to other people, but it's because we know that as a result of our submission, we have an inheritance that is coming. That is beyond this world. And so I just want you to know, like if you're praying today, pray that you would submit to God's will in your life. Pray that you would submit to the leading of God's Holy Spirit in your life, because he has some things that he wants to do. He has some effects he wants to bring, but we can't skip steps to get there. All right? So I want to invite our worship team to come on back up. And as they come, there's a few questions I want you to wrestle with here. The first is just simply, what are your results saying about your actions? What I mean by that is maybe you've been praying for some of the things that were listed there in Colossians 1, 10 through 12. Maybe you've been praying for some of those things and you feel like God isn't answering those prayers. And my question to you would be, are you trying to skip steps? Does it feel like you're just trying to get to the effects without actually going through the causes? The second question then is, how do you need to shift what you pray for? Maybe you need to pray less that you would bear fruit in every good work and pray more that you would actually submit to God's will in your life. Maybe you need to pray less for joy and pray more for the wisdom and understanding that comes from the Spirit of God. Because I promise you, when you start praying for the first things first, you'll get all the effects that come with it. Right? The last question then. Who are you going to talk to today and about the step of faith that you need to take, that God is challenging you to take even now? Who are you going to talk to today about the step of faith that God is challenging you to take even now? Yeah, we've got to make sure that we're saying something to somebody. Because when we do, he will respond to those steps of faith. But when we stay isolated, the devil has a way to come in and just wreck it all, right? Stand with me if you will. I want to pray for you. During this song, if you'd like to come and to pray with someone, we'll have people that will meet you at the altars that will pray for you, whatever your step of faith is that you need to take. Like, I want you to know you don't have to do it alone, and you won't do it alone today. If you'd like to pray with somebody, just come. Feel free. I promise you it won't be weird. If you'd like to, there's a prayer room right over here. You can go behind the doors. There's chairs there. You can pray there. Whatever you want. All I'm saying is don't leave here without actually pursuing that which God has given to you. Like, he has this step for you to take. Take it today. Don't wait. Take it today. Pray with me. God, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to submit to you and to your wisdom and to your spirit and to Jesus and to his sacrifice. Lord, we submit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus and ask, God, that you would change us even now. God, help us to be bold in our response, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.